Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 24. We're going to read verses 7 to the end. Psalm 24, starting at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Have you ever taken your kids to an amusement park or concert and had to wait in line to get in? We used to take our kids to an amusement park, water park, in southern Indiana. And on one particular trip, we took our dog along, which was our dog at the time was Doc, our boxer. He was going to stay in the kennels just outside of the park gates. And we figured that it'd only take a minute, and we'd be on the rides fairly quick. But it didn't quite work that way, because as we walked closer to the front, to the gates, to where the kennels were, Holiday Dog, which is the dog of the amusement park, the mascot, whatever, he comes walking out, and he's some guy dressed like a dog. And Doc didn't like it at all. Doc wanted to kill Holiday Dog. That's all I can say. He did everything in his power to try to get away, and I've never heard him snarl and bark like that in all my life. But finally, we got Doc into the kennels, and but even before that, the kids, they're whining because they had been in the car for quite a while, and they were sick of that. But also, they just wanted to get in. They saw the rides, they heard the roller coasters, they wanted to get in the park, and all this was slowing us down, and they just didn't like it. And what rejoicing when they finally got to walk through those gates and into the park. Normally, when we think of gates, we think of the kind of gate that we'd find on a farm or maybe that leads to hunting property. But back in David's day, when people talked of gates, it was city gates that first came to mind. They had other gates too, but that was probably the one thing that popped into their heads first. City gates were often massive and huge and ornate and beautiful things. And since that was the first thing that you saw when you came into the city, they were often very, very nice and well kept up. Now, why did David write the psalm? Well, David gives us some clues as to the occasion of his writing it, and it seems clear that he's focused on the ark's coming to Jerusalem. He wrote it to celebrate the moving of the ark from Uzzah's home to Jerusalem. So can you imagine being part of that parade? As they made their way, it was a couple miles. As they made their way to Jerusalem, we're told that there was the playing of horns and lyre and cymbals and people dancing, people singing. People were playing horns and lyre, cymbals and harps. Somehow I just can't imagine harps in a parade, can you? I know I've said this before to you. I think when probably we looked at that passage, but can you see them dragging these big harps down the road? I'm sure they had smaller harps, but that's the image I get in my head. These big harps, and they're trying to play it, and yeah. Anyways, it was quite the celebration. When the festive people arrived at the east gate of the city, the people cried out, "Open the gates for the King of Glory, that he might come in." When those at the gate heard the cry of the people and saw that the ark that represented God's presence among them was there, They asked what we might have asked if we had been there. Who is the King of Glory? And the festive worshipers would reply, Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. When the question was asked a second time, who is the King of Glory? The worshipers cried out, Yahweh Sabaoth, or the Lord of all the heavenly hosts. He is the King of Glory. The Ark of the Covenant was finally coming home, and the people were excited. If you've ever heard Handel's Messiah, you've heard the choir sing those words about opening up the gates. I think it's a song that eventually prepares you to sing the Hallelujah chorus. Because, again, it's this excitement building up because Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. And we talk about this passage often at his birth, but then again, often when he goes to the cross. But I think both are significant. The one without the other is meaningless. We need both of them. We need to hear about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, but that takes on meaning when we talk about when Jesus went to the cross. And in both of them, we see so clearly God's love for his people. David says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. I think that sounds a little weird, but it's like open the gates wide for the King of Glory to come in, who's unlimited in power and strength, who directs heavens, triumphant armies, who is the everlasting God. Jesus, or the Father was coming. We know that Jesus is coming. David says the king would be righteous and would have clean hands and a pure heart and would bless and bring salvation to the world. Now, rabbinic tradition tells us that the gate that was entered would have been the east gate of Jerusalem. Normally, the east gate was was locked. Excuse me. except for special occasions. One, when the king came in, that gate would be open. But also, it was open during the Jewish New Year or during the celebrations associated with the Day of Atonement. Then the east gate would be open. Sadly, though, today the east gate is sealed shut in Jerusalem. It's been that way for thousands of years, actually. It was closed over concern that another Messiah might come and arrive and attempt to conquer and bring the city into turmoil. If only the Jewish people knew who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was. If they knew what that ark represented. If they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? Only those who themselves are holy. Well, that kind of creates a problem for us, doesn't it? Because we know and we admit this morning that we're not holy. Each one of us continues to struggle with sin. Even King David, he failed miserably. The whole fiasco with Bathsheba. It's the reason the ark was kept behind thick curtains. Sinners could not stand before the living God and live, but would be incinerated because of their sin and because of God's holiness. Everyone is guilty, so how can we possibly enter God's presence and live? Well, thankfully, the Lord is not only the Creator. He's not only the Creator, the King of Glory, but he's also our Savior as well. And those whom he saves can enter his presence and receive the promised blessing. They can seek the Lord, and they can even look upon his face, and they'll live. And the reason for that is because Jesus has come. Our King has arrived. The Apostle John reminds us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. which means anything that is unholy, it would be burnt to cinders if you came and stood before a holy God. Isaiah writes that even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Only those who know Jesus, who know his righteousness, who have been washed in his blood, can enter into the presence of the Lord, because Jesus alone can take away all our sins. Only those who have a clean hands and a pure heart may come into his presence with joy. And since this isn't possible on our own, we need to invite the Messiah, the Lord, to come into our lives. It's just as Revelation 5 reminds us, Jesus was worthy to take the scroll and open the seals. Why? Because he was God's Son. Because he was the only one who could. Because of what he accomplished here on earth in being born in that manger and eventually going to the cross. And that means only those who have been clothed again and washed in the blood of Jesus can be saved. Without Christ, there is no hope. How did God bring this salvation about? God would answer that question in about 1,000 years from the time that this took place. And it would take place in Bethlehem, and there's hints all through the Bible about this. It would be that baby found lying in a manger that we've been talking about and preparing ourselves for these last weeks. In Christ, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. When we invite him into our lives and have been washed in his blood, that means we share in his victory. That means we are the conquerors just as well. Apparently, some of the people in the church that the Apostle John wrote about in 1 John thought that they could approach God without Jesus. They thought they could do it through enlightenment, through their own wisdom, but that's not possible. The Bible makes it clear without Jesus, there's only eternal death. And that's why Jesus needed to come in order to be our Savior. Advent is a time where we prepare ourselves for the greatest gift that's ever been given. And while that gift may seem small and insignificant, that little baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem, yet it's the greatest gift that the world has ever been given. It's ever been given by anyone. And just as Jesus entered those gates again as he prepared to go to the cross, so we will be part of that joyous throng when Jesus returns again soon and takes us to be with him. Imagine what it'll be like the day that we enter into the New Jerusalem. What a cry will come out from those waiting for the Prince of Peace to take his throne. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And I hope you long for it. And that day is coming soon. So how about you this morning? How are your gates? Are they sealed shut? Or are they open wide for the King of Glory to come in? Is there anything preventing you from receiving Jesus the Messiah? Is there anything keeping you from clothing yourself with Christ? This is the time of preparation. This is the time to make things ready. And if you know that there's things in your life that are not right, that are not good, that need to go, that the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of, now is the time as we prepare for Jesus' arrival. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, let's continue to prepare our hearts for the coming of the King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for your love, your incredible love for us, that you did send your one and only Son, Jesus. Father, we cry out with the throng, and we welcome the coming King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, help us not to lose sight of what Christmas is really all about. Despite all the dinners and the presents and the gatherings, help us to keep in mind that our focus really needs to be on Jesus. Father, We just thank you for the greatest gift that we could ever be given. Help us not to forget it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.